So I'd like to now go to some of the other malachas of Shabbos, having spent a considerable amount of time on Bishul and on Shia and Chazara and Hatmana and those in Yanim. So what I'd like to begin discussing a little bit the malach of Choresh, and I want to use that though as a springboard to discuss a little bit an Indian in Hilchos Shabbos of, as we'll see. So the malach of Choresh involves making ground, making soil more suitable for planting. That's what the malach is. You're making the earth, the terrain, making it smoother, removing rocks and other types of substances that are there that are not conducive for planting and for growth of crops, and filling in holes if there are. That's all part of the melacha of Choresh, as well as making furrows. If a person makes just simply making a furrow in the ground, a ditch which is suitable for placing seeds into it. So that's part of the malacha of Choresh. And another thing is also pouring water onto soil. So if a person pours water onto soil which is intended for planting, and planting will occur within the amount of time that the soil is still wet or still moist and still benefiting from that water that they poured onto it, then that's also Choresh. So now it seems that for many that if a person would pour water onto soil, and it's soil which is there's not going to be any nothing is going to be planted here. Or even if it would be planted here, but nothing—it's not going to be planted here at a time where the moistening of the soil that you're doing now will have any effect on the growth. Because once it dries completely, then it's same as if it never happened. So you wouldn't be chayev. That wouldn't be the malacha altogether. Most things, if you do to the land, even if it's land that in reality nobody's going to plant there, but you made a change in the land which makes it more suitable for planting permanently unless it's reversed. But there's nothing about it; it's not going to automatically reverse itself. If you take you take pebbles out of the ground, or you smooth out the ground, or you make a furrow. So these things are changes that you've made in the earth, which are now make the earth more suitable for planting. So even if it's as long as it's earth, the ground where outside where planting is feasible or is a possibility, even if nobody ever plants there, but that's considered Choresh. Whereas by watering the ground, the Sfarim said, the Poskim say that it's something which is very temporary, and once it dries up, in a relatively short amount of time, or whatever the amount of time is, depending on how much you soak the, how much water you pour, how much you soak the ground. But when it dries up, eventually, which is something that occurs naturally, it's no longer of any benefit. So then that wouldn't be considered Choresh.
But you need a bare ground, right? Like if you have grass, it's a problem.
Well, you have grass, it's a separate problem of Zoreya, right? Or grass, or even pouring water on a soil where something is could grow or is likely to grow, even if it's not growing yet, then that could be a problem of Zoreya. I'm just specifically focusing, so what you're saying is true. I'm focusing on the malach of Choresh and saying for the Choresh, which is just preparing the soil, that's where we're making this distinction. Okay. Now, so let's talk about one halacha lemaisa, which is discussed under, many svarim discussed this under this malach of Choresh. And that is, we said making furrows in the ground, we said, is usur. If a person drags something on the ground which is very heavy, let's say something very heavy, a bench, a metal, heavy metal bench with with legs, which when you pull it, they churn up the soil, they kick up the soil by dragging them through the soil. The soil gets dislodged and pulled out of place. Even though you have no desire to do that, you're not planning on planting there anything, and you have really no desire for this furrow, but or no intent even. But since it's a psikresha of that you're going to make a furrow, it's an inevitable consequence when you pull a bench that's very heavy, on the soil, it's inevitable that it'll make these furrows. So that's considered Malechus Choresh. Now it may not be something that you care about or something, but okay, we'll see about that. As opposed to if you pull something which is not so heavy, a bench or a chair or something else which is not, could be the same item just much lighter, and it's not, if it's for sure not going to make faros, of course it's mutter. But even if it's not for sure, even if it's possible, you don't know exactly. Many might depend on the, you know, how fast you pull it, perhaps, or how much energy you exert. You know, but there are certain variables that you can't really measure. You can't really know for sure. I know that if the bench is this, you know, so heavy, I know for sure it'll make furrows. If it's less heavy, I don't know. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. So that's called a davar she'eino miskaven. And a davar she'eino miskaven is mutter at Shabbos. Okay, so now let's just leave that for a minute, this idea. I want to get back to one thing I want to discuss tonight about this concept of psikresha. But I just want to bring up one halacha l'maisa, and that question is, so what about something which is much more nogea? What about pushing a baby carriage on Shabbos over soil, or a wheelchair? You could have a situation where a person in a wheelchair, or even a baby in a carriage, especially if it's not a tiny infant, where there's enough weight there that it also makes impressions, it makes indentations in the ground. If you're pulling the baby carriage over soil, let's say you're outside in a place where there's an area, maybe you're in your own backyard and you have proper mechitzas around your backyard, you're allowed to carry, or you may be, you know, out on the street somewhere where, in on streets or roads that are, or areas that are not paved, and it's you're making indentations in the with when you're pushing the person in the wheelchair, it makes grooves in the ground, or you pull a baby car, etc. So is that okay? And if so, why is that okay? Well, I think we know it's okay. I mean, we could probably all assume that, well, you know, places where there's an air of people are constantly, are commonly using strollers and baby carriages, etc., and plenty of people are being pushed in wheelchairs. So you might say, well, maybe they're, you know, limiting them. Nowadays, most of the streets are paved, and you could limit yourself to sidewalks and paves. But Lemaisa, many poskim say, you don't have to limit yourself. It is mutter. Many poskim say this, that it is mutter to push even a heavy carriage or wheelchair along an area where it will definitely make grooves in the ground. So why is it mutter? It's mutter because what's happening here is it's not uprooting the earth. It's not when you pull the wheelchair or the baby carriage, it's not uprooting the earth. It's compressing the earth. It's making grooves in the earth by packing down under the weight of the chair, pushes down, presses down, and makes a groove. And that's what's called being kovesh the land. And that's based on a Gemara Mishnah, a Gemara in Meseches Beitzin and Daf Chav Gimel. The poskim learn out from there that's mutter to do. It's mutter to be kovesh the earth, to compress the earth with it, go or pack the earth down with something, as opposed to when you're pulling the bench or something where you're pulling up the dirt. You're not pushing it down. I mean, you're displacing it. You're dislodging the earth. That is the Isser of Choresh. The other way is not even us to be the Rabbanan. That is not Choresh, to compact the earth. I suppose the pshat is because that's not the way you would plant. If you want to plant Adrab, you made the earth harder and more compressed. That's not so conducive to planting. Planting is you want to make the soil soft and more like a flowery, what's the word? I can't think of a better word for that.
Loose.
But loose, yeah, okay, thank you. So that's the issur as opposed to what you're doing with the carriage. Now this halacha, just to give a couple of makaris for this. First of all, you look at the sefer. There's a sefer Pischei Tshuva on Orech Chaim. Now, I'm not referring to the contemporary sefer Pischei Tshuvas. There's a sefer Pischei Tshuva on certain halakim Shulchan Aruch. We have on the page a Pischei Tshuva written by another gadol from before the Second World War, and we have that on. Really, on three chalakim Shulchan Aruch, we have in Yerideya, and Eben Ezra, and Chosha Mishpat. We don't have it in Aruch Chaim. If you open up Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim, there is no Pischei Tshuva on the daf. But there is another sefer written by someone else, not by the same mechaber, a thin sefer called Pischei Tshuva, and you see it quoted here and there. I happen to have the sefer, so I saw this quoted. I looked it up. The Pischei Tshuva in Simon Shin Lamed Zayin Sif Aleph. Brings this halacha from a sefer called Mitsudos Yisachar. What's the sefer Mitsudos Yisachar? I'm not personally familiar with the Mitsudos Yisachar, and I didn't make any effort to research who that is. But he quotes this halacha from the sefer Mitsudos Yisachar. In the sefer Chut Shani from Rav Nissen Karelitz, in the first chelak on Shabbos, Perek Yud Aleph, page Tzadi Hey, he brings this from the Chazon Ish. He said the Chazon Ish. He writes there that in Bnei Brak, originally people in Bnei Brak, back in the time of the Chazon Ish was Nifter in the mid 50s. So he lived in Eretz Yisrael from late 30s till the mid 50s when he was Nifter. And during those years, probably very common that there were unpaved roads, maybe more unpaved than paved. And people were monea. People refrained from taking out carriages and strollers because they were afraid that there's this issur of pulling, just like you can't pull a bench, but you can't do this. And the Chazon Ish held not like that. He held that it's not a problem based on what we said. This is considered kovish, the land as mutter. But he brings there, Nissen Karelis, and the Chut Shani brings that, however, when the Chazon Ish, however, began to be mefakpek on the kashrus of the Eruv in Bnei Brak, and he was concerned that it was usher to carry, and if it's usher to carry, it's usher to push a stroller or a baby carriage, because that's considered carrying. It's a form of carrying. So he was not mefarsim his heter. He didn't want to be mefarsim to people, not for Shabbos and not even for Yontif. I guess he means even for Yontif when there's no Isser to carry, you can carry with an Erev, but he didn't want to be mefarsim because he wanted people who realize if he, as far as Chorish is concerned, there's no difference between Shabbos and Yontif. So if he tells people, oh, it's fine, on Yontif, you could do it because there's no problem, this is not called Chorish, then I guess he was afraid that, well, the people say, oh, well, Mamela, I hold the Erev, I'm Samech on the Erev, so I'll do it on Shabbos as well. And the Chazon Ish didn't want that to happen because he personally felt he had his pikpukim on the Erev, so he didn't want people to use the Erev. So Mamela, he wasn't Mefarsim, but Be'etzim, he held with his heter. I just say, parenthetically, when we're here, what about a wheelchair where there's no Erev, right? Is it mutter for a person to be pushed in a wheelchair on Shabbos where there's no Erev? So the answer is no. The answer is no different than a baby being pushed in a carriage or stroller. It is not mutter. There are perhaps some situations where it'll be mutter al yidei akum. We know that if a non-Jew pushes the person in the wheelchair, then it's a question of amira la'akum, that you're asking a non-Jew to do malacha for you. Now the malacha is, in almost all cases, only derabbanan, because it's uncommon to have a rishus harabim deraisa nowadays. The majority of the places where we live, majority, not exclusive, but the majority of places where we live is only rishus harabim, is only rather a carmelis. It's not a rishus harabim deraisa. It doesn't certainly if you go with the shita of Rishonim, that in order to be considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Dereis, they have to be Shishim Ribu. If there's 600,000 people traveling on the streets daily, and that's basically what every community is somichon to build an Erev. You can't build an Erev the way we build Eruvim with you know, towards the Pesach with posts and strings. You can't do that in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Daraisa. That only works in a Karmelist. So every Erev, every communal Erev that we know of, is being Somech on the Shita that our streets are not Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Daraisa because we don't have 600,000 people. And because the other Shita of what defines Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Daraisa, we don't, you know, it wouldn't work. I don't go, but and there are some places. This is the tumult in certain areas that perhaps there are, or for sure are 600,000 people. In which case, an Erev is useless. But anyway, but the average place where according to many Rishonim, it's only a dura, it's only Karmelis Darabanan. So then, to have a non-Jew push the person in the wheelchair would be a shvus asking Goy to do a Darabanan. And that's mutter under certain circumstances. It's not mutter typically, but it's mutter for a certain tzarich mitzvah and other things. So then it would get into where the person needs or wants to go. Is that enough of a tzarich mitzvah to allow it? I believe, just thinking now, I believe that I once saw from Rav Shimon Schwab, Zichron Levracha, when he was the Rav in the end of his life, his Rav in Washington Heights, in Manhattan, New York, where although there was some attempted an Erev, but he didn't hold of it at all. He writes very clearly, he didn't hold of it at all. So, of the particular Erev, but I don't want to quote that. I'm not sure if he's even relying on that, even if it's only one Shvus. He had a Shiloh whether he was the Rav of the community, and at the end of his life, he wasn't able to walk to Shul. Physically capable of walking to Shul. So he sent the Shas for Shlomo Zalman Auerbach whether he could have a non-Jew push him to Shul for Letzarech HaRabim. So that might have even been, he might have been just even belying that it's only, even if it's only one Darabanan, meaning just Amir Lakam, even on a Malacha Daraisa, I think he held it was Malacha Daraisa there. But well, first of all, it's also Tzchai No Seis Atzmo, and the Cheshbon is getting beyond what I intend to go into now. But in any case, so what I wanted to say, though, is be'etzem, pushing someone else in a wheelchair is definitely a malacha on Shabbos. It's the same malacha as pushing a baby in a carriage. The question is, can a person push themselves? Can a person who's capable of, wheeling the chair themselves, is that mutter? So Moshe writes in Shuvah that's mutter, mamash mutter, even in a place you're not allowed to carry, because He's medama to a person who needs to walk with a cane or with crutches. The halacha is clear that if a person cannot walk around without crutches or without a cane, which means even indoors, in order to walk, they need the assistance of some device, a cane or crutches. So then they're allowed to walk outside with it too, even if it's just a Rav Daraisa, because it's considered regular day. It's a chelik of the person. Like he can't walk without it. He can't walk without it. So it's considered, like I said, regular day. It's like his regal, and he's allowed to do that. If a person is capable of walking without it, can walk indoors, he doesn't use it. Just when he goes outside, he wants more stability, and he walks longer, and he doesn't he's a little bit more concerned. He doesn't have the safety of his house. So indoors he'll walk without any help. Not like he has to grope on the walls. Indoors he can walk around. When he goes out the house, he wants to take a cane. That's also on Shabbos. Then you can't take a cane outside on Shabbos. That's considered carrying, unless there's an Erev. Unless that's a different story. But otherwise he can't use a cane or crutches. But if a person needs them even to walk inside, he can't walk. He can't get from point A to point B without some device, some assistance like that, that he's allowed to take him outside. So Moshe held the same thing is true with a wheelchair. That a wheelchair is also regular today. It's instead of the crutches or the cane. There's a tshuva in the Har Tzvi where he's chalik and he says differently, because he says regular day has to be that it helps you walk, not that it gets you from point A to point B. But it helps you to walk from point A to point B. Then it's considered your regal, just like your raglayim allow you to walk. So now this crutch or this cane allows you to walk. But a wheelchair doesn't allow the person to walk. It just gives the person a ride from point A to point B. So even if he's pushing himself, the Har Tzvi says it's not mutter.
Then maybe you can extend that, or Moshe says to other things that might work, like an electric scooter or something like that.
Well, first of all, electric is, we're not discussing anything electric.
It does work even, you said, over a Risa, right? Like you're saying, if you can use it, like in a...
But you can't... But only because it's not considered carrying. But you can't do other malachas. You can't use electricity for this.
Dim, if it's carrying, if the person is in a place that's not karmless, it's a regular deraisa.
But Ramesha says this is not called carrying. Just like walking with a crutch is not called carrying.
It's not called carrying.
It's called, it's like a chelik of the person. Just like working with a crutch is, the crutch is considered his third leg. It's part of him. Right now, it's like, it's like a part of the person. It's not called carrying. Just like when you wear something, you're carrying it, it's tuffle to you. It's buffle to you. Or tuffle to you. So the crutch is tuffle to him. It's like a chelik of him.
And so is the wheelchair.
So is the wheel. Going through Moshe, so is the wheelchair. So it's not good. But if he has to do any other malacha, he couldn't.
Kind of chelik of him, why not? Like,
what?
Whatever he's using, why is not part of a chelik part of him, whatever it is.
No, chelik just means therefore he's not carrying. What am I carrying? Wheelchair? No, that, just like I'm not carrying my nose, I'm not carrying the wheelchair.
The thing that's getting me to point A to point B is carrying me.
Well, glasses because I'm wearing it. It's not like I'm wearing it. It's tuffle to me, or a tachshit. It's a tachshit or a malbush. So here too, the wheelchair is he's going to Rabosh. He's like he's wearing it. It's him. It's a part of him right now. But after they do malacha, that does not. Therefore, it's not the act of carrying isn't happening here. But if he has to push a button to make the electric wheelchair, that he can't do it. I didn't mean electric wheelchair. I'm talking about a plain manual wheelchair.
Like,
right,
if you couldn't use that,
that will,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. We're only talking the malacha of hotza. There are moshes it's not hotza, but any other malacha would be a problem. I answer. Great. Yeah.
How come the hearts to assess that? In the case of the person without legs, they use hands to move on the ground. That's the case of the mission there. What's the difference? Why isn't that?
Well, firstly, I mean, he's walking on his stumps, no? Over there. Maybe even there, but it's helping him move. He's physically moving. He's not sitting on a rolling device that's taking him. He is physically moving his body. Maybe I don't. You have to look there. I will admit that this is all. None of this was planned. This part, it's just one thing led to the other that we're discussing this. So what am I saying? I didn't prepare any of this. I'll look up the end of the conversation just as we're talking. These are things that came to mind. But getting back to what was planned, the idea that pushing the stroller or pushing in a place where there is an Erev, or pushing the wheelchair in a place where there is an Erev along the dirt. So we quoted so far the Pischei Tshuva b'shem the Mitzudos Yisachar. We quoted the Chutchen b'shem the Chazanish. It's also this heter appears in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. In the new Madura, it's in Perach of Ches Sif Mem Ches, and it's very clear there that Rosh Shlomo Zalman agrees to it because Rosh Shlomo Zalman, comments on there on a Nakuda, which maybe we'll see in a minute. So we have Rosh Shlomo Zalman behind it. Before most of these foreign printed, before the Chutzshani was printed, before I don't know about Shem Shabbat, whatever it is, but in the Sefer Hilcha Shabbos of Rav Shimon Eider, Zichrono Livracha, in the first Chelek. Ha'ara Chaf Zayin on the Malach of Charesh. If you take a look at the Malach of Charesh, maybe we could get it right here. It's on page 43, the first chalik of Rav Shimon Eider's Sefer. Page 43, he brings this in Ha'ara Chaf Zayin. He quotes this from, amongst others, from Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's all. Chen Shemati Mipi Agon Rav Moshe Feinstein. He writes here Shlita. That's Moshe Feinstein Hatzal, that he also is mad to this, and you could find this also. There's also a tshuva which Ryder as well as others quote in the Chelkas Yaakov. It's now in the first. They redid the Chelkas Yaakov. It's in the first Chelik Arachayim Simin Kufnates, and it's also in another contemporary sefer in the Kovitz Halachas, which is the sefer of Pesachim of Rishmol Kamenetsky Shlita Chelik Beis of Shabbos Perik Mem Gimel Sif Hey. Amongst other places. So this had to appear in many places. That pushing, again, getting back to the Charish topic, that pushing a wheelchair or a baby carriage, even if it's for sure going to make grooves in the ground, it's mutter to do it. There's one nakuda, though, that they discussed, and this that some say that you should be careful, though, that when you turn, don't make sharp turns. In other words, don't, like, get to the corner and then like turn in place, because if you turn in place, then you could very well be pushing up earth. You're not putting that, you're using the, you, when you're making that turn, especially if the wheel is already in a little bit of a groove, and now you turn, so you may be pushing the earth right next to it, that next to, you know, next to the wheel of the carriage or the wheelchair, and your taka might be dislodging it. So some say, oh, that you have to be careful of, or at least when you turn, make sure it's not a psikresha. Make, you know, like make wide turns. Keep rolling. Don't turn in place, but keep rolling. The Chutshani says over there says to be careful that it shouldn't be a psikresha. And some others discuss it. In the Shmir Shabbos, this is the point I was alluding to. In the Shmir Shabbos, there, in Ha'arukuf Gimel, he brings from Shlomo Zalman that you don't have to, that basically that you don't have to worry about it, even to go to the side, you don't have to worry about it. Shlomo Zalman gives different svaras, different he's mitzaras, different things. Why he feels you don't even have to worry about it. It doesn't seem like it has to be on your mind at all, basically, according to Shlomo Zalman. But some say to be careful. Rav Nissim Karel also says to be careful if the soil is very wet, if it's moist or damp, then it could be also you'll be dislodging it rather than just compressing it.
If it's muddy. Sorry.
Yeah, if it's muddy, right, then you could be maybe dislodging it, then there's something to be careful about that. That shouldn't be a psikresha.
In that case,
what say again?
If a person goes on this wheel in front of a regular house, and you're pushing carriage, and it's all muddy, and it's all messed up, now it pushes it up. It's a mess. It's not what you want to happen to your swill.
That okay, but if you make a chritz that way, if you make a chritz by dislodging soil, then that is part of the Yisr of Charish.
Even though one of them wants to do it.
Yes. But if it's a psikresha, if the thing that you're pushing is heavy enough, that's a psikresha.
In the case where when somebody is pushing something, the case of the Pasik Reshe, where they're going to make it yes or yes, even if the ditch is going to be detrimental for the land, it's forbidden. So let's say it's my land, it's flat, it's the bare ground, and by pushing the table, I know I'm going to make a ditch, but it's going to be detrimental. I'm going to have to fix it.
Right, it's still Asel HaChatchila to do it. It won't be an Issa Doraisa. In any case, it won't be, but it would still be Asel HaChatchila to do it. Okay, now, so now let's go back to the Gemara talks about it in a couple of places, but the idea that on Shabbos, davar she'eino miskaven, if I'm doing one act intentionally, I'm doing an act, and the act I'm doing and the result that I'm intending for is permissible on Shabbos, but something else may also result, which is not permissible. It may end up, something else may happen because of my action, or as a direct, I don't mean indirect, as a direct result of my doing this, so I run by a candle, let's say, right? There's a candle burning, and I'm running. I just want to get from point A to point B. I have no interest in putting out the candle, but I'm running by it in a way that it may blow out. It may blow out. So that's called a davar she'eino miskaven. I'm not mechavin, I'm not trying to blow it out, but it's something that might happen. Or let's say a certain case where a person has a splinter, which if he tries to pull it out, it may bleed. Not to take a needle and dig in a way that he's afka bleeding, but to try to dislodge the splinter, and it may draw blood, or may not. So that's called a davar she'eino miskaven, and it's mutter, because as long as I'm not mechavin for the malacha, what I'm mechavin for is dislodging the splinter, which is inherently mutter, or running is mutter. Well, running for a dvar mitzvah, at least that's mutter. It's certainly no malacha. Running, even if it's usher and Shabbos, it's not a malacha. And I'm mechavin for a dvar heter, and a dvar iser might result. So the halacha is that's mutter on Shabbos. The machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we passing like Rabbi Shimon. Davar she'eino miskaven mutter, not just on Shabbos actually. Davar she'eino miskaven, we pass mutter, and you know, call it herkula, because it's the davar she'eino miskaven. We pass Rabbi Shimon as mutter. But the Gemara says in a number of places, moder Rabbi Shimon bipsik reisha v'lo yomis. If it's a psik reisha, meaning if the malacha that could result is not just it could result, but it's inevitable that it will result. It will definitely result, this malacha, from my doing what I'm trying to do for a permissible gain. I'm for sure going to, at the same time, being causing something to happen, which is non-permissible, which is forbidden Shabbos. So Hashem is more that you can't do that. That's us to do. And the primary case of the Gemara is Psik Reisha Velo Yamas. The Gemara's Psik Reisha means cut off its head. If you cut off the head of a chicken, Velo Yamas, Gemara says, you think you can cut off the head of a chicken and not kill it? It won't die? So you can say, no, well, I'm not trying to kill it. I just want the head. I want a toy for my child. Play with the chicken's head. Be a nice little toy for my child. So in order to get the chicken's head, I have to cut the head off the chicken. So, but you're not allowed to kill a chicken on Shabbos. I'm not machaven to kill a chicken. I'm just simply machaven to remove its head so that I could provide a toy for my son. So that's us to do. Rav Shimon's why you can't do that, because psik reisha v'lo yamas, you're gonna chop off its head and it's not gonna die. It's of course gonna die. It's an inevitable consequence. So that's the key phrase, psik reisha, for anything that's an inevitable consequence. Meaning it's a malach. There's a malacha which will inevitably result from what I'm doing, it will be a direct outcome. A direct outcome of what I'm doing will be a malacha, even if I'm not mechan for it, it's usher. If it's not inevitable, it may happen. It may happen, it may not happen. It's possible. Then I'm allowed to do it even though it may happen, and even if it ends up happening, it's not. I'm not guilty of anything. I wasn't over anything.
That's for the oraita. The provision is the oraita.
Yes.
So even if my intention is not to the melacha to happen, it's
as long as it's something positive, and that's what we'll see. Okay, now there's a big shaila in the poskim in the Rishonim, in Machlokas Rishonim. What about a psik reisha which is lo nichale, meaning not only am I not intending for the melacha to result, but I don't even want it to result, or at least I have no benefit. It lo nichale means I actually don't want it. I'd rather it not happen. Like similar to your case there with the mud there with the furrows in the field, whatever. Or a case where lo ichpasle, where I have zero gain from it, zero benefit from it. So I don't care at all. Is that also usur or not? Meaning, there is a shita of Shonim, it's famous as the shita of the Aruch. The Aruch holds that if the result that's going to, that which is going to result from my action, which I'm not trying to do, that result is something which I have no gain from whatsoever, and maybe even don't want it to happen, then it's mutter. It's not mutter for me to do. This thing. One of the cases they're talking about is stuffing up a, plugging up the hole in a barrel, in a wine barrel, with a piece of cloth, which is going to absorb the wine, because it's a hole in the barrel, and if you stuff it with a piece of cloth, you take you bunch up a washcloth or something, or a little towel, and you push it, you wedge it into that hole to keep the liquid from coming out. But if the thing itself is going to get soaked with wine, and then when you pull it out, it's going to squeeze out wine, and wine is going to squeeze out and fall back into the barrel. So that's a psik reisha, and it's a psik reisha that you're going. That's a psik reisha. The nichale that you get the wine, squeezes some of the wine, at least squeezes back into the barrel as I pull it out. So the Aruch says it's mutter. So you're allowed to do that because the Torah. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Is that davka is lo nichle? Obviously, not a psikle. Talking is lo nichle. It's lo nichle. Some of the cases talking where it's going to go the ibud, where the wine is going to, go into the wine. It's going to go into the ground, whatever it is. Where it's lo nichle psikreation, the lo nichle. The Aruch says is mutter. That and Tosis argues. Tosis argues and says that no, that even if psikreation is lo nichle, it's still usser. Now, these two shitas are brought in Shulchan Aruch in one place. Then the Mechaber brings them in Simen Shin Chaf towards the end. And of course, we're talking about Aruch Chaim, we're talking about Hilchos Shabbos, Simen Shin Chaf in Sif Yud Ches. In this case, Chavis Shepikako Bepikak Shal Pishtan, a Chavis which you plugged it up. Plugged up the hole with a linen stopper. Listom nekev shebedofna shemotzi and bohayayin. Yesh mi shematir. there is a shita. This is the Aruch who's matir to do that. Afal pishi ef shishlo yischot. Even though it's impossible that you're not going to squeeze out some of the water, is not going to get squeezed out when you pull it out. It's for sure going to happen, but it's still mutter. Why? He says v'hu shel yitacht of kli, provided that you don't have a kli underneath it to catch the wine as it comes out. Because the kivin sheno nena b'schita zu, since you have no benefit from this squeezing, even though squeeze, I mean, squeezing is a malacha d'oraisa, right? Squeezing the wine out of the things, the malacha d'oraisa.
The malacha happens then. It only happens when he pulls it out.
Right. So that's talking about
pulling it. It's talking about
but you're not to pull it out on Shabbos.
Pull it out, back out.
Yeah. So the kivin sheno nena b'schita zu have b'sikreisha. That is the sheet of the Aruch. Says the Mechaber v'chalkulav. However, they disagree with him. Other Rishonim, Tosfos and other Rishonim disagree with him. V'amru da'af al gav d'lo nichalei, even though he has no gain from it, no benefit. Kivin d'psikreisha hu asur. Okay, so the Lashon Mechaber v'yishcholkum sounds like that's what, you know, the Mechaber holds its usher, and the Bir Lacha points this out, that is the mashmos of the Mechaber, that you can't do it, that you shouldn't do it, right? Because he says, the Chalkul, they argue, the Yesh Mishamato of the Chalkul, but they disagree with him, they challenge him, they say that what he's saying is not correct. Okay, so now, in the Sefer Kovet Shiurim from Rav Chana Wasserman on Meseches Ksubis, in the first Chelik, Meseches Ksubis, Os Yud Ches, he wants to say, he brings a Hesber to explain what they're arguing about. What's at the core of the Machlokas? Why does the Aruch hold its Mutter and Tosis holds its Aser? So he says like this, that one could clear a Chakira. What is the pshat? Why is a psikresha normally usher? Let's say psikresha denichale. Why is it usher? There are two ways of looking at it. You could say that since you're mechavin to do A, and since B is inevitably going to result, so it's considered you're mechavin for B also. It's considered you had kavanah for that too, because you know it's going to happen. It's for sure going to happen. So even though you say, well, my goal is only to accomplish A, but you are definitely going to be accomplishing B as well. So we look at it like you're mechaven. It's no longer a davar she'ena miskaven. It's no longer. It's considered mechaven for B as well. Or another way of looking at it, says Rav Chanan, is that it's not that you're mechaven to B. It's that A and B are considered one. If B will always happen when you do A, it will always result in B. So then B is like a chelik of A. It's all one maisa. It's not that you're mechaven for B per se, but doing A is B. The mashal Rabbi Chana gives, he's talking about a mashal not even Hilchos Shabbos. It's talking about a nazir brushing his hair. A nazir is not allowed to pull out hair, right? He can't tile like Avraham, but he can't pull out his hair for the whatever period of naziris he has. So he's not allowed to. A sorik, he's asur and nazir to be sorik sa'arosha, to brush his hair, or comb his hair, because it's inevitably, it's for sure going to pull out hairs. So he says, what's the pshat? What's the isser? The isser is either that, since it's definitely going to all happen, he really just wants to comb his hair. But since combing his hair is for sure going to pull out hair, so one way to say it is that we look at it like he's mechavin, ki'ilu, he's mechavin to pull out his hair. Or the other way of saying he's not mechavin to pull out his hair, per se, but brushing hair is pulling out hair. Brushing, well, combing, like combing one's hair is an act of pulling out hair. It's together. He says, "Kivin disrika hu psikresha latlisha." Since combing is a psikresha of pulling it out, nimsa the tlisha bechlal srika. The tlisha, the pulling out the hair is a chelik of the ma'aseh srika. V'sagi b'mashe mechavin l'srika. It's enough just to be mechavin l'srika to be chayiv on the tlisha. Av she'ena mechavin l'tlisha. That tlisha nechalel is b'srika. The tlisha is a chelik of the srika. So he says, "Memeil, this could be the machlokas being toasted on the Aruch." The Aruch will hold the first way, that we don't, it's not this one thing. We don't say Shrika is Talisha. It's just that since you're Mechavin for this, but since you know that the second thing's going to happen also, we consider it's Ke'ili Mechavin for that. So the Aruch will say, fine, but that's only when I'm Nichale. That's only when I want the second thing. When I want the second thing to happen, so the Torah looks at it like I was Mechavin to do the second thing too. But if I don't want that second thing, I have no desire whatsoever. It might even be a negative for me. I'm certainly not a positive. I have no rutzen in pulling out any hero. No rutzen in doing the secondary act. Mamela, you can't say I'm mechavin. So I wasn't. So it goes back to this. Davar Sheina Miskavim. Here I was only Miskavim for the first thing. If I'm pulling a bench, I'm pulling a heavy bench. See, this is one of the key cases the Gemara talks about. The case of Psikresha, when the bench is very heavy, and it's going to make furrows in the ground. So if I'm pulling a very heavy bench, so if I have hanah from those furrows, if I gain from them, if it's something positive, something good for me, so then it's psikresh nichali. So then we look at it. Oh, then we look at it like you're mechavin to make the furrows as well. But if they're detrimental, if I don't want them, if they're bad for me, or I have zero toelis in them, so then you can. It's like I was mechavin. When it's mechavin, it's mechavin to that. That was totally out of my radar. Totally not focused on that. Not thinking about that. I don't care about that. I don't even want that. So you can't say it's mechavin. But Tosis argues and says, no, that's not the pshat. It's not the pshat that we look at you mechavim for A and mechavim for B. So you could say, oh, in this case, I wasn't mechavim for B. But B is A. B is a chelik of A, or A is B, I should say. But you're doing A, you're doing B. It's one maisa. Pulling a heavy bench on soil is an act of making furrows. It's not just an act anymore of transporting the bench. It's an act of making furrows. And combing your hair is an act of pulling out here. It's hainu hach. It's not that as machav. It's two acts by as machavim for both. So you can say only when it's nichale. No, the Torah looks at it like the result in act. The thing that's going to result from the action I'm planning to do is like it's a maisa of doing that as well. So I only have to be machavim for the first thing, and that encompasses the second thing. So then it's not going to help you to be not lo nichale. So what lo nichale? Doesn't make a difference. Lo nichale only helps if you say that we have to look like you're mechavan on both. So you can say, well, obviously I wasn't mechavan to do something which is going to harm me. But if we say, no, the second way, I don't have to be mechavan for both. By mechavan for this, that includes the second thing. That includes the result. It's all one. It's a package. So if it's a package, once you're mechavan for the first thing, so then it's automatic kavana for the second thing, and it's usser. But it's still a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, right? It's not your kavana. Your kavana in, let's say, coming here on Shabbos and you're pulling out here, right? Your kavana, your desire, your goal in coming your hair is not pulling out the hair. It may be part of your maisa, like the second way of learning. It may be considered that by combing my hair, I'm doing a maisa of pulling out hair, which is gozeis on Shabbos. But it's not. I'm not doing it for the purpose for any, you know, not for the purpose of the hair, not for the purpose of thinning out my hair or using the hair or anything. So he says, well, then it's a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, right? You're not doing it for the purpose of the mishkan. When I'm making the furrow in the ground, it might be considered that I'm a chavin for making the furrow because it's all part. Making the furrow is just part of, it's part and parcel of pulling the bench. So it's ke'il is mechavin for that, but not for the purpose. The purpose of the Mishkan is to have furrows for planting. I wasn't mechavin. So because of Malach HaShem Tzrich HaLagufa, which we hold is only Durabanan. It'll be telling on that. That's a machlokas, but the Malach HaShem Tzrich HaLagufa is Asur Min HaTorah, Chai Min HaTorah, and only Asur Min Durabanan. So if you hold Malach HaShem Tzrich HaLagufa is only Asur Min Durabanan, so Memela by doing this psikresha to lo nichale, even though it's considered that your kavana extends to the secondary part, but only b'toras and isur d'rabbanan of malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. Okay, we're going to the ma'arif and.